Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many of you excited about revival? How many excited about what God's been doing at Calvary? How many of you know five other people that need a touch of heaven? Oh, that was luck. If you don't know five other people, we need to pray for you. How about getting on the phones and calling other people? Let them know what's happening. Amen. God's moving by His Spirit. It's about time we saw an influx of some new people in the house. Come on now. And you know people out there that are, and maybe you've spoken to them already. Some people are just stubborn. I understand, you know, you tell them what God's doing and then you invite them to come and they're just stubborn and they don't come and they don't come and they don't come. And just go hogtie them and bring them in. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on now. How many of you know some pastors in the area that need a touch of heaven? Get them in here. They need to come in here. Amen. Amen. I've had a few text me and threaten me that they're going to come. I'm like, hey, doors are wide open. Whenever you're ready, amen. You know, listen to this carefully. Some ministers want revival in their church, but they're not willing to pay the price for it. That's what it is. That's what it comes down to. Amen. And I can tell you right now, if you're a pastor out there, you can bring your people in here. Get him full of the Holy Ghost, yeah, and take it back to your church. You can have revival in your church. Hello. Amen. It's a great watering hole right here. And apart from anything else, my God, we don't have to go and beat down religion. Because, yeah, there's no beat down of anything. Are you listening to me? That's all been done, beaten down many years ago. Hello. So I've never felt any time ministering from here that I deal with any kind of religion whatsoever. And there's a freedom for the move of God in here, which that's what causes the God to flow like He does, because there's no restraint, there's no pullback. I've been in churches where I feel the preacher pulls back on the move of God, and it hinders the flow of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So that's one thing I'm so thankful about Pastor Bob. He loves revival, loves the move of God. Amen. And so if other pastors would just realize this and jump in on what God's doing here, they can carry this back to their own churches and see God move. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And that young lady over there, Sister Facebook, I've noticed a couple of times now when there's altar calls, you've actually come up here with some young people. Are you bringing them into the meeting? You are? That's fantastic. Fantastic. I nudged my wife this evening. I said, you see that young lady? I said, this is like the second or third altar call. She's come down with some people. I bet you she's bringing them into the house. So she's doing her job, yeah, I'm telling you. So if we could have 50 of her show up at a meeting and drag some of their friends in. Amen. That's what the church needs. People like that that'll just bring others and get them saved. Come on now. Hallelujah. The book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and he sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now just go back with me to the book of Luke chapter 24. Luke 24 and verse 49, Jesus said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high." See, that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. And somehow the church has disconnected from the day of Pentecost. You know, we'll talk about the language of the Spirit, but we don't talk about the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Because they're two separate things. Are you listening to me? The infilling of the Holy Spirit and the language of the Spirit is two separate things. The Holy Spirit and the language of the Spirit is two different things. The Holy Spirit is a person. The language is the evidence of being full of the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? But we've disconnected from the power. I mean, I've been in churches where, you know, they'll get a line down front and they'll just have people uttering some words to say, "Oh no, you got the Holy Ghost. That's it. You got the Holy Ghost. You know, you're speaking in other tongues." But that's not how it went down on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and then they began to speak with other tongues. So, but what the church has done is they've cut out the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and now they want to just get you a language. Hello? Do you know that a language, when you're learning a foreign language, I'm still trying to learn American, but it comes slowly. You learn a couple of words here, you learn a couple of words there, but after a year or two or three or five, you become fluent in the language. Why? Because a language is something that develops and it grows. Well, if our language of the Spirit is something that develops and grows, then it should grow. The words that we speak should sound different as we're going on down the road. I mean, multiple times over the years, my language has changed. I'll be one day speaking in tongues and then suddenly, boom, I'm in another whole language. I'm like, "Whoa, there's a whole language coming right now. Are you listening to me?" And it just flow out like a river. Some people are still caught in one or two phrases that they learned at the beginning, and they've never got over those words. Hello? We were walking, had an all-night prayer meeting down at the river in Tampa Bay one night, and we were just walking around the building praying, and there was one young man who went to Bible school there, every time I walked past him, I heard his language, and he sounded like a motorboat going down the river. That was his language. And I knew for a fact, the man, that's what he got at the beginning, and it's never ever gone any further than that. Hello? See, you can have the language of the Spirit, because first of all, the Holy Spirit's a gift to us. If I have a gift for you, and I say, "Yeah, I've got a gift for you," what do? You receive it. Hello? It's your gift, you receive it. It's the same with the Holy Spirit. Same with the language of the Spirit. I don't know why people have such a difficult time in getting the language of the Spirit. In actual fact, there's probably a lot of people that we don't even know about that come and get in the line, and when we pray, the power of God fall upon them, and on the way down, they get the language of the Spirit. Hello? Because they just got full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I can tell you right now, I can't stress this more than what I can. Speaking in other tongues is vitally important for a believer. It is vitally important for a believer because listen to this really carefully. The Bible says when you pray in the Spirit, you build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So you might feel a little down one day. You just start urabakasha brobo soramandrebe shikaramandrebastoyo. And as you do that, you suddenly feel something on the inside. I mean, I already feel, bless God. I'm already topped up, so just a little bubble and it'll just pop over. Are you listening to me? But you can feel it bubbling up on the inside, and then all of a sudden that strength comes on the inside of you. Woo, glory to God. So do you want to pray some more? Hello. It's not like we've got to pray for 15, 20 minutes just to get warmed up. You can build yourself up every day, pray in the Spirit. The Bible says that you speak mysteries unto God. That means the devil has no clue. You know, I don't want to babble with my prayer. I don't want to be repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating. And eventually when you pray a lot, you run out of words in English. So what I do is I pray with my understanding for a little bit, and then I pray in the Spirit. Because the Bible says when I pray in the Spirit, I'm praying as I ought to pray. So I figure my tongues, when I'm praying in the Spirit, it is full of faith, full of the Word. I mean, it's directly into the throne room of grace. I'm praying like I ought to pray. Whew, glory to God. Hallelujah. And you can pray in the Spirit all day long. You don't even need to pray out aloud. You can pray quietly on the inside, speak in tongues quietly on the inside of yourself. Hello. I remember one day, because back in South Africa, we play a game called rugby. It is the man's version of football. No helmets, no pads, and no tights. No tights. And I can tell you right now, there ain't no paddles either. Oh, you listen to me. That doesn't get touched around there. Oh, you listen to me. Okay, come on now. Well, when I played anyway, that's not the case. It might be today, I don't know, but you know. Anyway, moving right along now. So, we're playing for, my brother pastored a church in the Northeastern Cape. And so he and I were playing for the town that he pastored the church in. And man, I got sidelined. I mean, somebody just came from the side and just put me on the ground. Boom. And I was lying there. I mean, I could hardly breathe. I was struggling with some stuff on the inside of my body. I mean, it was just crazy. And the whole team were around me. And I opened my eyes and I just saw faces and eyeballs. I could hardly see the blue sky. I mean, people over me were asking what's going on, what's happening, you know. And then I felt a hand on my belly and I heard, well, what had happened was my brother ran into the group of people, put his hand on my belly, and started praying in the Spirit. And listen, instantly, I saw blue sky. Because every heathen that was around me, they were trying to find out what was going on. When my brother hit me and started praying in tongues, everybody scattered, just like, gone. Like, we ain't hanging around those brothers anymore. Hey, one brother's crazy. He come in speaking some crazy language. I mean, needless to say, I got up and finished the game, but let me tell you what, you know, the world don't understand those kind of things. Are you listening to me? Hello? But we, the believer, do. I said, we, the believer, do. How many of you pray in the Spirit? How many of you don't? How many are not going to raise your hand no matter what I say? Oh, I saw a little hand go like this above the pew. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. You'll get the language in your seat right there where you are. You can come in line. I pray for you, get full of the Holy Ghost, and you'll speak in other tongues. You don't. Would you? Do you want to? What about you? You don't, but you want to? Yes, no, no, yes. Just close your eyes and nobody will see you answering me. Would you like to speak in other tongues? Anybody else? You don't have a heavenly language. Anybody else? One, two, three. What does that mean? You have it, but my God, I'm coming to pray for you, lady. I'm telling you right now. All right, okay. Everybody that can pray and does pray, raise your right hand to heaven, lift your voices to heaven. Let's just pray in the Spirit for a few moments, quickly. Come on. Pray out loudly. Come on. Remende abrasso colamande la bashataya, mangom bremendi glabashatalamando, o rababasso proboscheteya, mangon denemende la bashataya lamando, rebebinde la masho bromonde, o rababangando roboscheteya, mangalamashenemende, rabonde le besi kilamanda la bashataya, mambroboscheteenemende la mashanda. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many of you feel something going on the inside of you? Come on now. You build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, Lord. Hallelujah. And those that don't speak, if you just raise your right hand to heaven and join in, it's not a language that you understand. It doesn't come out of your head. It comes out of your heart. Just let the Holy Ghost fill you right where you are. I'll pray for everybody here this evening, but let the Holy Ghost fill you right where you are. And then just begin to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. And a language will come out of your mouth. You won't know what you're saying. You won't even understand it, because I don't understand what I've just said right now. But it's the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. Shakara brobose membre bestit kina mashora monde ramambrase de bestit alamandaya. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, let me continue here. Once I get you started, I don't want to stop. Hallelujah. Listen, let me say this, and I've heard people say this, that, you know, we're tarrying for the Holy Spirit. Or we've just been tarrying. I've heard people say, we've been tarrying for the Holy Spirit for 30 years. 30 years waiting on the Holy Spirit. How? How is that even possible? Why should we? We're not tarrying for the Holy Spirit. We're not waiting for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's already here. He came on the day of Pentecost. Jesus told the disciples, you tarry in the city of Jerusalem. He didn't tell us to tarry. We're not tarrying for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's already here. The moment we stand up and begin to worship God, He's here. When we get up and welcome the Holy Spirit, He's here. The Holy Spirit's all over this place right now, looking for those that He can touch and deliver and set free and change. It's really up to us. It's up to us, every one of us individually. It's up to every one of us individually. When my brother first called me back in the early 90s, probably 89, and he told me, he said, let me tell you something. Something's going on in the meetings. And he said, people are falling out of their seats and they're drunk and they're full of joy. That got my brain going tilt. Because I've grown up in Pentecost, and listen, we've seen you know, little bits of joy here and there, but nothing to a degree where it consumes a whole meeting, and then people are actually falling out on the floor, and they're full of joy. I mean, my first question to him was, in church? Because really, you go to some churches, and it's a sad state of affairs. I mean, people show up, they're depressed, they're tired, they're weary, they're beat up. It's very hard to find somebody happy in some churches. And if you don't believe me, when you go to your church on next Sunday morning, look around. First of all, focus on the preacher. See how happy he is. Hello? Thank God we have a happy preacher on a Sunday morning. I mean, we were getting down with our bad, ugly selves here this morning. I can tell you that right now. Hello? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Sunday morning doesn't have to be a dead morning. So when I first heard a revival, it dumbstruck me. I'm like, really, joy in church and every meeting, joy breaking out. And then my brother said to me, he said, it's just started happening. And he said, I don't really know why, but it's happening. And you know, it started back in the late 80s and it's continued. And then in the 90s, when he came over to South Africa, you know, it didn't take us long to look and see. I mean, when God starts moving in a place and you look around, you can see it's God. I mean, it's not a question. There's no question that God's not here tonight. And you look over and you see somebody that's happy. And you know, it's not like, oh, I wonder what's wrong with that person. You should look over and go, ah, I wonder what's right with that person. Because joy should be normal. Joy is not abnormal. Joy is normal. Depression is abnormal. So when you look around and see people depressed, there's something wrong. When you see people full of joy, it's all right. It's all good. I'd never questioned when I saw the joy. I never questioned, could this be the devil? Yet I've had people come to me after the meetings, thank God, nobody here. But over the years, I've had people come to me and say, brother, let me ask you a question. Is there a possibility that this joy could be the devil? And I just look at them. I'm like, really? What scripture are we going to base that on? Where does it say that the devil brings us joy? Hello. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. It says nothing about joy. How can we show up here? Holy Spirit, you're welcome to come do whatever you want to do, and then the devil shows up and gives us joy. How is that even possible? I can tell you right now, there's no devil in the whole building. He might be sitting out in the parking lot waiting for you, but he ain't in the building. Hello? And if he was in the building by now, he would have been frothing at the mouth. And we'd know where he is. Let me tell you, let me explain to you so everybody can be on the same page here this evening. People are laughing, or you might say laughing. See, I'm learning American. People are laughing like this because they are happy. Simple. If you're happy, your face will know it. You can't look at someone and go, man, I'm just so happy. One deacon got a hold of me one day and he said, brother, he said, you got to understand this part of America we're in. He said, we don't really show any emotion. And he said, let me tell you something. On the outside, we might look like we're not excited, but on the inside, our heart is clapping. That's what he told me, a deacon of a church. I looked at him and thought, my God, I'm wondering if your heart's even beating. So you can tell me, you can be jumping up and down on the inside full of joy and excited. On the outside, you look like this. I'm very happy, actually. My heart is clapping. I'm actually full of joy. Really? You could have fooled me. Well, you did, really, you did. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. The Bible says that laughter is like a medicine. If the church needs something, they need medication. Hello. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. When you step over into glory, let me tell you what, it's filled. Glory is filled with joy. There's no way that you can be depressed in heaven. And there's no way that you can walk around looking sad. Hello. Because we are in the presence of God Almighty. We are in the presence of Jesus. And hey, newsflash, we are actually in the presence of God Almighty here. We are in the presence of Jesus. We are in the presence of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells on the inside of you and I. Hallelujah. So we got something to be happy about. Something to be rejoicing about. Oh. Your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Woo! Hallelujah! You know, what goes on in my head is this, that God's given us power. He's given us the name of Jesus. And so we can go around and we can kick devil butt. And that makes me happy. I mean, I'm just excited about the fact that we can go around and kick devil butt. But Jesus said, don't rejoice over the fact that you have power over the devil, but rejoice over the fact that your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what we rejoice over. Hallelujah. So we should never be sad. People say, you don't know how hard my life is. Are you born again? Yes. Is your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Yes. Rejoice. Rejoice. The Bible says, this is the day the Lord's made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. When I saw what God was doing in revival, let me tell you what, it created a spark to hunger on the inside of me. See, I've grown up in Pentecost all my life and seen God do some amazing things. But let me tell you what, I was very withdrawn. I was very, very conservative in that way. You know, when other people ran the aisles and jumped up and down, you know, I just stood there and looked around. Because that just wasn't me. I mean, it just wasn't me. The last thing I wanted to do was fall on the floor in front of people. I mean, fall on the floor in front of people you know, but fall in front of people that you don't know. I watched people testify and they couldn't speak. And listen, that's the last thing I want to do. There's no way I want to stand up in front of a whole bunch of strangers and then, and then, and then, and then, and then, and then. Yeah, you know what I mean. Come on, Jesus. Help me out now. Where'd that come from? Where'd that come from? Where'd that come from? yeah. It's like my brain got stuck on that one word and I couldn't get further. Just hold on now. I'm just trying to carry on a little bit here, okay? So that was the last thing I wanted to do. I don't want to get up in front of people and not be able to speak. In actual fact, some people got up and said that God stuck them on the floor, or, you know, they couldn't talk and stuff like that. And I looked at them like they were whacked out of the tree. I think, my God, stuck on the floor. Give me a Pentecostal break. Why is God going to stick you on the floor? Well, I don't even see the point of that. I don't see the point in not being able to speak. I just couldn't see. I mean, I'm like, come on, man. You know, we've grown up in Pentecostal churches. We grew up with some of the most anointed ministers and the most powerful preachers. And I never, ever heard a preacher couldn't speak. But I can tell you right now, when the Holy Ghost gets on you, it's like you don't make the connection between this and that. They're not hooked up somewhere along the way. There's a disconnect. I mean, you don't even have to try not to speak. I was trying to speak over there. I wasn't trying not to. Oh, you're listening. And I'll be honest with you, we don't need any demonstration of that tonight, because you all know what I'm talking about. So I mean, I don't have to demonstrate that. Amen. I got into a meeting and I shouted at God for 20, 25 minutes because I was so desperate that night for a touch of heaven. See, sometimes we come into meetings and just sit there and go through the motion maybe and get a little joy, and I'm waiting till the end of the meeting, I'm going to get a little joy and get drunk and, you know, I'll get on the floor and it'll be fun. But I tell you what, I couldn't wait for that. I had to have a touch of heaven. I mean, I had to have a transformation. That's what I contend for. I'm not contending for joy. I'm contending for a transformation. Are you listening to me? Well, if I can just get rid of the depression. Hey, when you have a transformation, you won't have any more depression. If I can just get rid of this anger that's in me. When you have a transformation, the anger will all be gone. If I can just get rid of the sin that's in me. Hey, you have an encounter with God, all that sin will be gone. Hello. And that's what I contended for that night. And my prayer was this. I prayed. I said, God, I said, I know you can hear me. And I said, I know my brother on the platform can hear you. And I said, I want you to tell him to call me out and pray for me that the same anointing on him comes on me. That was my prayer in the meeting. I thought, my God, that's a hard prayer. Because for God to answer it, God would have to tell my brother, duh. God would have to tell my brother to call me out and pray for me that the same anointing on him comes on me. And that's exactly what I cried out to God for 20, 25 minutes, shouted at God over and over and over. And people say, why did you keep shouting? Because I wanted to make sure God heard me. Do you think he heard me on the first run? I believe he did. But I wasn't going to take a chance. People say, well, you know what? If God wants to touch me tonight, he will. Really? The question is, do you want the touch? That's the question. Do you want the touch? God wants to touch you, but do you want the touch? Do you want the transformation? Because let me tell you what, when God touches you and transforms your life, you will never be the same. Are you willing to live with that? Because when a transformation comes on the inside of you and your life is changed completely, you might lose some of your friends. They might look at you and call you radical and out to lunch and, hello? And so I cried out to God that night, and, And 20, 25 minutes later, I sat on the front row and my brother got up and took the microphone and had everybody sit down. And then he looked right over at me and he said, "Basil, come here." And I got up out off the front row, went and stood down in front of him, thinking to myself, what does he want? Hello. And here's what he said to me. He said, "God told me to call you out and pray for you that the same anointing on me comes on you." Exactly the same words I used. Exactly what he told me. And then he laid hands on me. Power God knocked me on the floor. I was on that floor for 2 hours and 45 minutes. I missed the whole meeting. At night, my wife got so drunk in the Holy Ghost, and they had a table up front that says, "Do this in remembrance." And it had a cloth over that table, and somehow she ended up on the floor, and then she climbed up underneath the table. And she literally hid away under the cloth and would peep out, and when my brother come by, she put her back down again. So she spent her night under the table, "Do this in remembrance" table, while I was stuck over here on the floor. Only thing I could move with my hands and my head. That's all that the rest of me was stuck. And remember something, I'd already heard of people getting stuck on the floor. And I went, "Oh yeah, you think I fell off the last banana boat? I mean, give me a Pentecostal break." That's rubbish. Until it happened to me. Then it wasn't rubbish anymore. And God got my attention. Hello. I said, "God, I'm going to stick around here for a while longer." And let me tell you what, that night God began to do a change in my heart. He began to set me free from stuff. Hello. We have to have an encounter with God Almighty. I believe the reason why we're still doing what we're doing today is because of those touches of heaven that we had way back then. And then through the years, how God has touched us so many times over. And then nights like Friday night when my brother was here. Those nights, we'll never forget those nights. Something happens on the inside of us. It's like God propels us to the next level, takes us to the place He wants us to go. Are you listening to me? And you become consumed with God Almighty. You become consumed with God Almighty. So God touched me back in South Africa and began a change on the inside of my heart. Unfortunately, the church that we were attending, they didn't stay with revival. And that's the case many times. You know, you'll come in, have revival 3-4 weeks, and then you'll go, and then that church over the next 3-4 weeks will end up back where they were. And one of the reasons why that is the case is because the preacher never got it. And so he can only give what he's got. And what he's got is what he had before revival. Now, he likes the move of God, he likes joy, but he never got it. Oh, you listen to me. I can only release in the meeting what God gave me. I can't give anything else. Hello? I can't be another minister. I can't carry another minister's anointing. I can only carry what God's given me and what God has encountered me with. Oh, you listen to me. That's why we carry the fire like we did. Because I had an encounter with God. God put a fire within me. That's the only reason why. If I never had that encounter and the fire of God didn't touch me, I couldn't release fire in the meeting. It wouldn't be there. Hello. I know ministers that have come and got touched in revival. And they got the joy and they got the drunken part of the meeting. But they never got the fire. But that's all they do. They go, people get drunk, people get full of joy, but there's no fire. Hello. And don't look at me in a worried, you know, he's got fire. There's many in the house that have got fire. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost. It's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Same anointing, same fire, same Holy Ghost. The Lord said to us back in South Africa, He said, "I want you to go to America." And He said, "I want you to carry the fires of revival." He said, "I want you to go to the church and I want you to stir up the church." And He said, "You'll find hungry and thirsty people." And He said, "You'll lay hands on those people and that fire would come upon them." Let me tell you what, back in South Africa, we didn't even have the fire. God said, go to America. We went. We'd never been there before. We went to America. Well, we came to America and joined up with my brother for the year of 93. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt. Listen, I'm driving down the road in Orlando, Florida in the December of 92. And we were just having a vacation there before January started up. And the 1st of January, then we're going to fly to a place called Ketchikan, Alaska. I'm driving down the road and I'm listening to a cassette tape in the vehicle of my mother testifying. And let me tell you what, that test, I never heard it before. That test me literally blew me away. Now, she couldn't talk. Now, listen, I know my mother very well. I mean, very well. She's my mother. Good old time Pentecostal lady. Let me tell you something about the good old time Pentecostal people. They never put on anything. It was either God or it wasn't. So when my dad, when I saw my dad under the power of God, when I saw my mom under the power of God, I knew that's the power of God. Because my dad and mom, they wouldn't put on anything. Oh, you listen to me. When I heard my mother testifying on that tape, it blew me away. I was amazed. I thought, my God, that's my mother you're touching. She can't even speak. That's a miracle. And guess what I prayed? I said, God, I said, you touch my mother like that, you can touch me. Yeah, it created a hunger on the inside of me. But listen to me real carefully. I made some stipulations. I said, you can touch my mother like that, you can touch me. But I want to be able to talk. That's my prayer. I've got to talk, Lord. You've got to let me talk. I want the touch of heaven, but I don't want to be like my mother when she's up there and she can't speak and she's all over the place. I said, that's not me. And God said, we'll see. On the plane to Ketchikan, Alaska, I cried out to God. I said, God, I need a touch of heaven. You've got to change me on the inside. I mean, I was hungry. I was desperate. Listen, we're in two meetings a day, 6 days a week now, starting that January. And how can you not get touched in two meetings a day, 6 days a week? I mean, you're going to have to be dodging the Holy Ghost every step of the way. Hello? I remember actually the fact the November or the October that we were there, we actually went up, and that was in 92 when we first got here. Then we went with my brother to North Dakota, and we were in about 3 or 4 weeks of meetings up in the Dakotas. And I remember, I mean, this was now, you know, I got touched back in Africa. 6, 7, 8 months later, we are now in America, and I was helping him up front, and bodies had fallen all around me. And I was stuck in the middle of these bodies. I mean, there was nowhere to go. And I'm standing there going, oh my God, what have I let myself in for? This is crazy. I got a whole year. I had made a commitment for a whole year. I'm like, my God, I'm going to be in this whole year? I mean, I was pretty antsy. You know, I'm Pentecostal, man. Growing up, cut my teeth in the pew benches, but I was ready to get out of there. Oh, you listening to me? But then, of course, December rolls around. I hear my mother testifying. I'm hungry and thirsty. And then we go to Ketchikan, Alaska. I pray. I ask God for the touch of heaven. And into the second week, just minding my own business, worshiping the Lord, 9:15 in the evening, lifting my hands, power of God hits me. Let me tell you what. That night I had such an encounter with God. I was drunk for 3 days. I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to drink anything. I just wanted to hang out with God. Are you listening to me? 9:15 in the evening, I only got up off the floor at like 1:30 the next morning. That means everybody's gone home. Are you prepared for a touch of heaven where maybe at 2 or 3 tomorrow morning, they peel you off the floor? Places in semi-darkness. Hello? Oh, you're prepared for an encounter with God where you stick you on the floor for hours on end. Good. And I didn't ask God to do what he did that night. I just said, God, I need an encounter with you. And let me tell you what, that night I saw an angel. And that angel was there for only one reason. He was there to deliver a message to me, and he was there to fill. He had a vase in his hand, or you call it a vase, and he began to pour, and it looked like oil that you pour in your engine, but it was as thick as honey. I believe it was the oil from heaven. God was giving me a Holy Ghost lube job. Getting rid of all that old stale oil on the inside of me and began to pour that fresh oil on the inside of me and then brought about a transformation. God began to show me things that were going to come to pass, and all that stuff has come to pass, of course. But God began to show me some things, and that's when he told me, I'm dropping a fire within you. He said, you'll find hungry and thirsty people. Amen. Let me tell you something. The fire of God is real. Yeah. I said, the fire of God is real. Yeah. The fire of God is real. Yeah. On the day of Pentecost, they must have seen the fire because they wrote about it. Cloven tongues like as a fire sat upon each of their heads. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me say this, I've never seen the fire of God, but I sure have felt it. There's times where my hands will be on fire for God. I can feel the fire that I actually look down. In actual fact, right now I can feel the palm of my hand like it's on fire, like it's burning, but I don't see anything. But if God would open my eyes into the realm of the Spirit, I'd see the fire of God on my hand. Are you listening to me? If God opened our eyes into the realm of the Spirit, we'd see amazing things going on here in the building. We'd see a whole lot of angels. We'd probably see some angels with some Holy Ghost baseball bats about to swat you up the side of the head. Come on now. I've shared this testimony. I've had people come to me afterwards and said, while you're standing on the platform sharing their testimony, they said they saw an angel standing right next door to me, and he had a vase, and he would dip his hand in and then just pour that on my head. And he said the more that he poured it, the drunker you got while you were sharing your testimony. Let me say this. I don't rely on an angel for anything. I rely on the Holy Ghost. I rely on Jesus. I don't get direction from an angel. Are you listening to me? I just want to clarify that because, you know, there are ministers in the nation that do that. That's how they get direction, supposedly from an angel. And let me tell you what, when I first started hearing that, I said to the Lord, how can I ever share this testimony that I saw an angel? And the Lord said to me, he said, that's a different thing. You're not getting direction from an angel. And let me be honest with you, I don't even want to see an angel. I'd rather see Jesus. Amen. I'd rather see Jesus than an angel. Are you listening to me? But so the Lord showed me an angel that night, and that's fine. That's fine. But out of that all came a transformation. See, I believe God has a plan for every one of us. And that plan will be fulfilled by the Spirit of God out of the encounter that we have with God Almighty. I still draw out of that river and out of that well that God placed on the inside of me back in January of 93. I still draw out of that. But then over the years, God's touched me so many multiple times. 93, I spent hours. Listen, 93, I spent hours on the carpet. Sometimes I would be a little embarrassed about it because, you know, I'm working for the ministry. And my brother looked for me and I'm on the floor. Hello. But 93 was my year of transformation. 93 was my year of change. He'd get me up to share my testimony in places I'd never been. I'd look at him and go, my God, seriously. In 94, I went and visited him. Yeah, in Texas. I'm not sure exactly what church it was. It was a large church, not Calvary, but it was over in North Dallas, I believe. Where was he? Do you know? Remember? No? Anyway. Huh? Rockwell. Maybe it was Rockwell, Texas. Anyway, so he got me up to share my testimony. He gave me the mic, and he went and sat down the front row. And here I am, drunk in the Holy Ghost, begging him, come on. Come on, man, take the mic. About three other ministers on the platform. Listen, the fire God hit that place. I mean, we danced in the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not a pretty dancer. But when the Holy Ghost comes on you, you don't worry about pretty. Oh, you listen to me. You just get to moving. I mean, I was running around that platform. I looked at the video. I mean, I'm looking, my God, what were you doing up there? I mean, my knees were coming up, yeah, by my chest. I was bouncing around. Other ministers were twirling around behind me. I mean, power God hitting the whole place. I get back to the thing, and I'm like, come on, please, come on. Take the microphone. We ain't going anywhere with this. It all came out of a hunger. God's not a respecter of persons. I said, God's not a respecter of persons. It all came out of a hunger. That's all I was hungry. I was hungry, thirsty, determined to let go and let God do whatever He wanted to do. And so it took me to lay everything on the altar and say, God, come with your fire and come and change me on the inside. That's what it took. 24 years later, yeah, we stand, flowing with the Holy Ghost, seeing God moved by the power of God. Let me tell you what, I could not have done over the last 24 years what we've done without the Holy Ghost, without the fire of God, without the joy of the Lord, without being able to drink of the new wine of the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? Could never do it that way. It would just be another dead meeting. How do you know one of these nights you don't have an encounter with God and within the next year or two you're on a foreign field shaking a whole nation for Jesus?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'll try that congregation over this side over here. How do you know that you don't have an encounter with God, that you have a transformation on the inside of you, that in the next 2 or 3 years, you could be on a foreign field somewhere, shaking a whole nation for Jesus? Hello. As God has called us to America, so He called you to a foreign nation. And you go over there, and when your feet touch that soil, power of God starts moving, revival breaks out. Hello. At least there's somebody responding to me. You know, we sing that song, Lord, I'm hungry for a mighty move of God. But I often wonder, how hungry are we really? Because let me tell you something, with revival and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit comes a price that we pay. You pay a price for moving with the Spirit. And I can tell you right now, not everybody going to love you. Not everybody even going to like you. Hello. But that's also okay. Because not everybody liked Jesus. Not everybody loved Jesus. In actual fact, he'd go into the synagogue and perform miracles, and then they would commune with one another what they could do to him. Thank God I've not been in the church where the Spirit of God's falling and then people are communing with one another what they might do to me. Although I think we're very close. A few months ago here in Texas. Are you listening to me? It was touch and go. I was like, want to text my wife, honey, get the truck started. We might need to run right after this meeting. Hello. Thank God for the fire. Thank God for the fire of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire. Fire. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire the Holy Ghost. Fire the Holy Ghost. Fire the Holy Ghost. Fire the Holy Ghost. See, this doesn't really mean anything to me. The reserved section. Fire. 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 Get this whole row, Lord. Get the whole row, Jesus. Fire. Fire. Get the whole row, Lord. Fire. 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 Fire the Holy Ghost. 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 Fire. 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 Fire, 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 fire. Fire, 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 fire. Uh-huh. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Fire. 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 Fire the Holy Ghost. See, the fire of God really does bring people together. You know what I mean? I mean, not that they needed to be brought together, because I think they are, but it brings them all a little closer. Amen. Sometimes it's a little hard for me because I pray for people and then they fall under the power of God and they're lying real close and I'm wondering, oh, are they actually together? What's going on? Fire the Holy Ghost. Fire the Holy Ghost. Fire. 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 See how I brought them together? Did you see that? Make my job a whole lot easier. I can use one arm to pray for them. Amen. Woo. Sorry, folks, I'm a little drunk. I've been drinking up here. I've been drinking in Joel's place. Joel's Barn Grill. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Fire. Fire. Fire the Holy Ghost. Fire the Holy Ghost. Fire. I said fire. I said fire. 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 Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. This is good wine we're drinking. It's good wine we're drinking. It's on the house. It's free. It's a joy unspeakable. It's a joy unspeakable. She's all right. I guarantee you, she's all right. She's just getting full of joy. Have you seen her like that before? Huh? No? Have you seen her like that? Oh, one time over here? Okay. No? And all that is the power of God. That's all it is. It's the power of God. God's touching her, changing her, filling her. I wouldn't be at all surprised if one day she doesn't find herself on a foreign field carrying the fires of revival, shaking a whole nation. I wouldn't be at all surprised. She'd be sending Facebook messages from a foreign field. Amen. Hallelujah. This is her year, 2017. God's doing a work in her. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, ho, 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 ho. That's what's so wonderful about these meetings. You actually don't have to pray. You just got to drink. I pray, you drink. I pray, you drink. Go ahead, folks, jump in the river. It's okay. I never seen anybody die from joy. Come here, dear lady. Come here quickly. Come here quickly. You, yeah. So this dear lady was in revival back in 93 when I shared my testimony at Calvary. She got touched by the fire of God. And let me tell you what, if I gave her a microphone and I said, share my testimony, mine, she shares it word for word. Actually, in fact, I think she might do better at sharing my testimony than what I do. We met her at Zadok one morning, and she's like, oh, let me share, and she starts sharing my testimony. And I'm looking at the lady like, what? That's my testimony. Oh, she said, I know it. Jesus. I'm sure she's got her own, but she told me mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where's that young lady? Did she leave? Oh, she's on the floor. Oh, bring her out there for me quickly. I mean slowly, if you have to do it slowly. I mean, you always do that. You always, if you're someone saying quickly, you go quickly, 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 like. Jesus. 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 Fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Well, there goes one usher. Can I pray with you? Come. Come here. Both of you, all three of you, come. All four of you, come. Come. Right over here, just lift your hands to heaven, close your eyes.
Oh my God.
What?
Are you touching me? Oh my God.
Lord, there it is. That's the power of God. That's the power of God going right into you. That's the power of God going right into you. Oh, in Jesus' name. Touch you, Lord.
Oh, good God.
Jesus, fill this young lady. There it is. There it is. Fire from heaven. Fire from heaven. Jesus, lift your hands to heaven. Close your eyes.
Don't do that, please.
No, I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing anything. Okay, I'll touch you over here. Close your eyes. Lord, let your fire fall upon her, Lord. There it is. That's the power of God. See, I ain't doing anything. That's the power of God on you. You feel that? Huh? Yeah. That's the power of God. Fire of the Holy Ghost. 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 Fire the Holy Ghost. Lift your hands to Jesus. Close your eyes. Lord. There it is. A fresh fire. That's it there. Right into you. She said, please don't do that to me. I said, I ain't doing anything. I'm not doing anything. Look, I'll show you. I'll just touch your hands. It's not me. It's Jesus. I'm telling you right now, all these young ladies are having an encounter with God right now. Some of these came in the altar call tonight. They're all having an encounter with God right now. Their life will never be the same. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, just pick her up quickly. Pick her up quickly. Slowly. All right, wait, turn around you. Look over here quickly. Look over here. Look here. These are your friends. Look at them. Hey, you're not looking. Look at your friends. Yeah, is that good? Are you excited about that? Huh? What? Oh, sister and cousins. Oh, wow. Have some more. Sister and cousins, and I don't know how they all work together, but they're all there. Hallelujah. 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 Can you imagine the revival that we could have? amongst young people like this. This is the next generation right here. This is the generation God's going to raise up.